Welcome to the Above Politics Show.
Like it or not, we live in times of danger and uncertainty.
Dedicated to intelligent discussion and debate of serious political issues in the U.S. and around the globe.
Absolutely unrealistic.
Borrowing money from China to finance the war in Iraq.
President Bush continues to not let facts get in the way of his ideology.
From AbovePolitics.com, this is the Above Politics Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Above Politics Show. I'm Martin Bain.
And I'm Homer Fife.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm just fantastic. How are you, Martin?
Very well, thank you. So let's just jump straight into things, because I think it's been an exciting time in the presidential campaign. And I just staggered, you know, Colin Powell, just, or Colin, as I think you should say his name, but let's not get into that one. You know, staggered when I saw that news report that he'd sort of come out in favor of Barack Obama, you know, when he was seen as one of Bush's, you know, trusted lieutenants and aides. I just think that's an amazing, amazing endorsement.
Well, I don't think it would have been near as controversial or actually been flagged as much as it was on the mainstream media if it hadn't been for Rush Limbaugh's comment that his entire endorsement was about race. And I think there's a legitimate argument there. Colin or Colin, as you prefer, is, like you say, he's one of Bush's right-hand men. I mean, by all accounts and purposes, he stood up in the UN and lied. So this was quite a shock, and I think it was fairly devastating for the McCain campaign.
Oh, I got to say, yeah. I mean, it's just turned things around. I mean, you know, I suspect McCain's having a tough time anyway, and I'm sure, you know, when he discovered that this is what Colin Powell was going to do, you know, I can imagine, you know, his advisors must have thought long and hard about how they counted this, and I'm not really sure they can, and I'm sure there are going to be a lot of potentially middle of the road Republicans, and maybe, you know, left leaning Republicans are probably going to think, well, if Colin Powell's coming out in favor of Barack Obama, maybe I need to think about whether McCain is a suitable candidate for me to vote for. I mean, I you know, looking at it, this seems fairly big news. This seems fairly devastating.
Yeah, and, you know, you've got a great point. However, I truly think McCain's handling it the right way. He's ignoring it. Because if he addressed this in any way, shape, or form, it's going to turn around on him and it's going to look bad. And right now, what he's doing is just, he's just, okay, Colin Powell endorsed Obama, good, let's move on. And I think that's what he needs to do.
But, yeah, it just makes for incredibly interesting times. And, you know, one of the other things, you know, it was quite interesting was, you know, I saw, you know, and this must have made press all around the world, but, you know, Senator Barack Obama saying, I'm going to take a couple of days out of the campaign. I'm going to go and spend time with my elderly and, you know, gravely sick grandmother, which, you know, I suppose when I first thought about that, I thought, I'm not sure. Is that the wisest thing to do? But when you sit back and you reflect on it, I think that's a very clever, not clever, but is the right thing to do. That, you know, potentially he's now saying to the American people, you know, family is first. And I know that's something that Americans like, you know, they do see the family first. So I think he's actually scored potentially a lot of points by saying, I'm going to step away from this one. And the other thing I've noticed is that it seems that the Republicans didn't really lay in that heavy while, you know, while he's out of the, you know, campaign trail.
Yeah, I think they were worried about backfire. Exactly what you're sitting here postulating about is all the different scenarios of how this could turn out is exactly, of course, what the different campaign managers are looking at. And this could go several ways. I mean, you could look at it as a political move because, let's face it, presidential candidates are removed from the population. They're rich, they're successful. So this could be a move on Obama's part to appear more human, to appear more family oriented, or it could just be he's concerned about his family. So, you know, you got to kind of look at it. Me personally, I think he's just concerned about his family, and I'm not a huge Obama fan, as everybody knows, but I think he's concerned about his family, and that goes toward his character, and I'll give him that one.
And I have to agree. I'd say that's absolutely the right thing to do. And I suspect you're right. You know, the McCain-Palin camp really have no choice but to sort of, you know, take the foot off the accelerator if they've got one and just say, hang on a minute, we're just going to have to just do what we need to do and, you know, do our visits and wander around the key states and make our rallies and addresses. You know, they really can't go after the guy, you know, and I think that's, you know, that's an interesting thing to do.
I mean, if they do go after him, there's no way it turns out good. And, you know, I'm hoping that there's somebody there with some intellect whispering in McCain's ear saying, just leave this alone. And now that's two issues now that the McCain camps had to leave alone. And that worries me because I'm not a huge poll person. I think that polls are swayed. People are paid to take polls. So they take polls that are going to satisfy the people that are paying them. However, the Associated Press poll that just came out yesterday shows a virtual dead heat, and McCain doesn't need that right now. McCain needs to get a little bit of a leg up.
And just sort of going back, and it's probably a subject that I can raise, and I suspect there may be some people going, ah, I wonder where Martin's going here. And you were talking about the comment that Rush Limbaugh made that, you know, potentially Colin Powell's endorsement is one motivated by color. And I still go back, and I've said it on the show in the past, that, you know, I still wonder how many Americans are ready to make that leap from, you know, having always elected white males to electing a black male to the office of president. And I still think that's something that, you know, I don't get the impression that that's been spoken about a lot in the US. But it's just something I see.
Yeah, and let's go back to Rush's actual comment. Rush's actual comment was this. When he was told that Colin Powell had come out to endorse Obama, Rush made the comment. He said, I want to research how many white liberal candidates Colin Powell has come out and endorsed. And, of course, that's a racially motivated comment. Now, of course, calling him a racist, which a lot of people are doing, is incorrect. Anybody that knows the actual definition of the term racist, that's just incorrect. He just made a comment about race. However, people are talking about this Bradley effect, exactly what you're talking about. People talk a good talk, and they may answer the right questions if they're called about a poll, but when they walk in that booth, when they're standing there confronted by that voting machine, are they going to make the decision to put a black man in charge of the United States government? Is the country ready for that? Are people open-minded enough for that to happen? And we're going to find out.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I was talking to some, you know, friends, and I was talking to an American who works for a company in Ireland, and we just got onto that subject. And, you know, even he hasn't been in the States for, I think he said something like 15 years. He's worked in Europe. You know, he said he has made the effort to make sure that he can vote abroad, you know, because he thinks it's such an exciting time. And, you know, even, you know, this guy was saying even he was energized to, you know, go to the embassy and register to vote. And he said he hasn't done that for the last two or three campaigns. So clearly, I think, you know, there are, you know, I think there are a lot of Americans who may not typically vote, who I think are going to vote this time. And I think one of the interesting things will be to see the number of people who actually turn out and vote. And I suspect that's going to be up on previous elections. I think a lot of Americans are going to make the effort because this is a monumental time in U.S. political history. You know, this is where, you know, people may well define themselves about, well, you know, how did you vote in the 2008 presidential elections? You know, I think this is a big one that a lot of people are going to turn around and say, I'm going to make the effort to vote.
Oh, Martin, like, this is, to me anyway, this is one of the most exciting times in my life. And I think that exactly what you're talking about, there have been records set all over the country for people registering to vote. And a large demographic section of that are the Democrats. But let's go back to your original comment and how many of those Democrats are voting so they can vote against Obama. That has to be looked at. And I know that people don't want to hear that, particularly the ardent Obama supporters, but you have to look at that. How many of these Democrats are registering? How many of these are the hardcore Southern old-time Democrats who are registering to vote perhaps for the first time in their life that just want to walk in that booth and vote against a black man? And I truly think that has to be looked at.
Yeah, and the other one is just, you know, how uniformed and how coalesced as the Democratic Party come, you know, because their campaign was probably the more bitter of the two campaigns here, and I suspect, you know, it's interesting that, you know, there hasn't been that much press or that much stuff coming out from the Clintons. Now, you know, maybe they've realized that that's what they have to do, but I just wonder how many people are just probably so angry and bitter that Hillary didn't get the nomination that, you know, their, you know, doomsday scenario is they vote against Barack Obama. I suspect that's probably the worst option. Abstaining, you know, that's probably the better option if these people aren't going to do anything.
Oh, there's definitely going to be a portion. But I don't think it's going to be as large as what they first thought. Initially, there was some talk about a large segment of people voting against Obama simply because of the fact that, one, they were Hillary supporters, and two, he didn't even vet Hillary for the VP slot. But I think a lot of that's passed now. I think that Hillary, for all of her faults, has truly given Obama a good, solid endorsement, and I don't think we're going to see that have quite the effect as some of the other issues that we're talking about.
And that's going to be interesting. And whilst we're on the elections, one of the things that Homer and I are looking to do, and we want to do an election special maybe for the next week's show, and what we need and what we would like is comment from our members. So if you can send an MP3 file, that's what we'd like, so that we can record you into the show. Your, you know, impressions of the election campaign, who you think's going to win. Let's put you on the spot. We were very lucky yet last week when we had our guest on, Donald, and we managed to put him on the spot, and he clearly said which way he was going to vote. So here is something that we'd like you to do. If you want to, record something, email it to either of us, or send us a U2U, and we can send you the email address, looking for maybe 2, 3, 4 minutes, your impressions of the campaign so far and who you think's going to win. We'd like to do a segment in next week's show.
I will also put this offer out. I won't be able to do this on any massive scale, but if for some of the more less computer-inclined people, if you'll send me a U2U or an email and give me a time and your phone number, I can call you and do a direct interview right over the phone, and we can post it that way too. Like I said, don't, you know, I can't do everybody that way, but if you really want to get on and you've got something to say, I'll give you that opportunity to do that.
And this is, you know, there's the offer. Homer's made it. Let's not let him or me down on this one. And one of the other things I saw, which certainly made a lot of splash in Europe, was some footage had been released in France of Senator McCain when he was a POW in North Vietnam, which I think was very, I think the timing of that is suspicious. This is coming from AboveTopSecret.com. You know, I think we always have to have our conspiracy hats on, and I'm really interested to see what people in the US have made of that footage being released right now.
Right, because that's really, really got me bewildered. You would expect France to be more along the Democrat, liberal side of the fence. However, I can't figure for the life of me how this is going to do anything but help the McCains or the McCain campaign. This is going to be really a heartstring type of thing where people are going to see what he did for his country and how he served his country and how he suffered for his country. And I don't see how this is helping the Democrats at all. So that's really got me bewildered.
I just wonder, you know, I'm sure someone has either started this, or if they're not, here's the opportunity. You know, is there something going on in the background? Has someone put some pressure on the French government to release this one? Because if it was there, it was in the archives, you'd have to think that people for months have known that Senator McCain was going to be the presidential candidate. Potentially, why didn't this appear significantly earlier? And, you know, I got to say, there's something not right about all of this.
Yeah, and let's not rule out the talk, too. There's been a lot of talk around. I can't give you any specific names right now. I don't have them handy. But there's been talk, too, about either a release from Osama bin Laden, a statement released, or a possible attack within the United States, either right before the election or a week or – I'm talking about here in the next few days, and how that would affect the election. And for the life of me, I can't see how these sort of things would help the people that are making the statements. it just seems to me that this would bolster the McCain campaign. And I can't see there's no doubt that McCain's going to be the one that's going to be the strongest in going after these people. So why would they be coming out in support of him? I just completely don't understand that.
Absolutely. And you only have to look back through history, and, you know, we can even go back to, you know, the UK when Thatcher was the prime minister, and the effect of, you know, the Falklands War, you know, which meant that, you know, she won the next general election. And I think you have to say in the US that, you know, 9/11 certainly was something that President Bush was able to use so that he got elected the next time. And it, you know, it's amazing how maybe one event that, you know, is catastrophic is a war, which, you know, 9/11 was, you know, a really horrendous thing to happen. You know, any war is horrendous, but it's amazing sometimes how that can change a people's perception of a candidate is the way they step up to the plate, or they handle something that is, you know, seems on the face of it horrendous, it's totally wrong, but people can just turn around and think, hang on a minute, I'm going to step in that polling booth, hang on a minute, you know, when our country needed leadership, this person stepped up.
Yeah, and I don't have a problem with that. I mean, let's go back to our last guest and what he said. I mean, he talked about that at length. The fact that, you know, when you're picking a leader, who's going to be the best leader to lead us through traumatic times in during an incident such as September the 11th? And I think you have to look at that.
Absolutely. So, and then one of the things I did notice is that on the show thread for show number 35, we actually had Frank Idealist 35 had a bit of a posting off on some ideas. Which, hey, we encourage members, and if you post, guess what? We will reply to you.
Yeah, that I'll tell you, Frank Idealist is an incredibly, incredibly intellectual, staunch supporter of the liberal side of the agenda, and of course, I am pretty much the other side of the fence. So I appreciated his comments. They were very well thought out. It was a good discussion, and I urge anybody to go back there and to read that. And, you know, perhaps there may even be some more. I'm sure he won't let it drop. And as Martin has said, we will reply if you talk to us, and we encourage you to.
Guess what? There is going to be more from Frank Idealist, because we got him to put his views they're coming up next in the show. And then straight after Frank Idealist, we're also going to be having a piece from Johnny Utah, his views on the presidential candidates and the economy. So let's have a listen to those two ATS members.
Hello, Martin Bain, Homer Fife. This is ATS member Frank Idealist 35. I am responding to the question that Homer Fife posed at one of the ends of a show that you guys did. I am a Democrat here in the United States of America. I support Barack Obama because I like his ideologies. I disagree with John McCain on a number of issues. I think that, first of all, the reason that the economy is in the dumps right now is not because of the tax problem or whatever. It's not because of socialism. It's not because of the Democrats or Republicans. I believe our problem with our economy has been caused by fat cat bureaucrats on Wall Street, and they're hurting Main Street, and so much talk has been about revamping our economy, but what they should be talking about is revamping the middle class and revamping just regular citizens of the United States. If they could get these fat cat bureaucrats out of debt, or like, if they could save their companies, then they should get us out of debt and get our mortgages fixed, and people should really be helped more than they are. And I think the economy is better now. I think the reason why it is because the fat cat bureaucrats that destroyed the economy in the first place are now, for the most part, gone or under government supervision. and they're a large part of the economic center. I believe the Dow Jones lost 40% of its stocks or whatever. A lot of that sector is gone, so they're not harming the economy. But what happened was that these companies that wanted to corner the government, so it's these financial institutions that begged the Financial Reserve for money. Like, oh, hey, Financial Reserve, can I have some more money? And Financial Reserve just gave them more money. They, like, basically got to a point where the system kind of backfired on them. And right at this time, they kind of screwed themselves over. They expected the government to back them up. That's what really happened. And the problem is not partisan. It's not Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac or whatever. That's just one part of the problem. And I don't think that Barack Obama or anyone knew that those companies were corrupt at the time. Or if they did know, they didn't think it was much of a problem like everyone else did. And other than that, I also support Barack Obama as our next president because I like his stance on health care. I think everyone should have affordable health care. I think that people shouldn't be forced to get really bad health benefits from their employer. And if they want to, they should have a government health care plan like he does. And that would give them the health care benefits they need. And yes, it would bring some changes. It would bring a lot of changes in corporate policies regarding health benefits. But I think it's a necessary change. I think that it's a shame that Republicans stopped Bill Clinton's plan from universal health care when he was president. But I think that Barack Obama could really shake things up a bit by implementing his idea into a new bill that would give people the same access to healthcare, and people need lower premiums. Healthcare costs too much, and healthcare should really be healthcare and not just another market for consumer drugs. And like so many people are saying that they're withholding drugs from people, and they need cures. Healthcare should really give people cures. Like Brock, if you know Barack Obama's grandmother or someone, mom, died because she didn't get health care treatment in time, or it was something like that. I also support Barack Obama's stance on foreign policy. I agree that the war in Iraq is not the main friend of the war on terror. People came there because we went there, but they weren't there in the first place, and they came over. That's one of what Al-Qaeda's main recruitment thing was. The war in Iraq attracted a lot of people over to Al-Qaeda, and that was a bad war. That was a bad choice to begin there, and there was no reason to go there in the first place. We should have stayed in Afghanistan, and Barack Obama is right with that. Barack Obama didn't say we should attack Pakistan. He said we should, I think he said something along the lines that we should go in Pakistan if we have to, which means that we'd have to deal with the terrorists there. And whether that means we'd have cooperation with the Pakistani government or not, that's up to them. But I don't think he meant that we were going to war with Pakistan. And I support Obama's stance on energy. I think that John McCain's stance on energy would eliminate the amount of fossil fuels we have by 2100 or sometime next century. I like the idea of solar energy. They could really harvest solar energy power and get it, be extremely efficient with it. I think that would be really good. It would be really something if they could just have cars be able to get solar energy all the time. That would be really amazing. I think that's an underrated technology. I also can't imagine Sarah Palin as our vice president. I mean, I think everyone is tired of Bush now, Republicans and Democrats alike. So, I'm not a very pro-Bush person. I think he did good on some things, but not so good on others. But I think that Joe Biden is a much more likable guy than Sarah Palin is. It's not because I think she's a woman, so she isn't going to do well, or that I think she's a bimbo, which I don't, because that would be sexist, but I'm going to criticize Sarah Palin. I'm not sexist, but I'm criticizing her for her pro-life stance, and I don't like her stance on religion. I think that if she was going to be vice president, she'd probably, like, maybe she might eliminate the gap between church and state, and I don't like that. I think that our policy shouldn't be based on religion. I think that they should be based on politics, and they might deal with religion, but I don't want some person running the country saying that I believe this war was dealt to us by God. What if she goes to war with Russia and she says, I believe God let us have this war? I don't really want that to happen. And last but not least, I think that John McCain, it would be a scary president. He once said, bomb, 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 Iran, something along those lines. I mean, you can't have a president going around saying you want to bomb another nation, like, without thinking about it first. I think that John McCain would be too much of a loose cannon. You know what maverick means? Maverick, for one definition of maverick is that they do things they aren't supposed to do. Another definition of maverick is that they're loose cannon, they're unpredictable, and erratic. I think John McCain has been very erratic in this time of crisis by showing very many negative campaign ads against Obama, but I think that he's looking for a negative solution to the problem. I think that we should stop the racism, stop hate against Obama, and we should look for more positive solutions. That's why I support Barack Obama. That is my opposing view.
Hello, Martin. This is your fugitive friend, Johnny Utah. Just wanted to thank you for giving me the chance to be on your show, give me the chance to vent a little bit, maybe make some people mad, maybe make them think a little bit, maybe both. I don't know. But you know me. I've always thought of myself as a skeptic, as a conservative, even as a Republican. But here I am, you know, 2-3 weeks away from the election, and I'm going to be voting for Barack Obama. Now, I need to qualify that by saying my vote for Barack Obama isn't necessarily an endorsement of him as much as it is a vote against John McCain, if that makes sense. But it's something I had to do. I can't see giving John McCain the keys to the kingdom. I can't see handing over the reins to a man who's plagiarized Alexander Solzhenitsyn, to a man who's lied about his POW status, to a man who will do absolutely anything to win this election. Barack Obama said John McCain would rather lose his dignity than lose an election. That's just fabulous insight, because there's never been a more true statement about a politician, ever. John McCain still holds a grudge because back in 2000 he didn't get the nomination. He's still angry. He thinks he deserves this. And he thinks the American people are too stupid to see through his lies. It's one of those things where Hillary kind of had that feel too. She kind of thought, well, she's a Clinton. She's the smartest woman in the world. This is what she deserves. Well, John McCain is the other side of that equation. His final debate was supposedly his best. If that's the best debate that a person can give, he needs to step out of politics. He's talked about spending freezes. He's talked about, you know, lowering taxes. But at the same time, this man talks about buying out every single bad loan in the country. That's insane. People can't pay their loans. It becomes a bad loan. So the government buys it. People can stay in their homes. Yada, yada. Right? What's to stop every single person in the country from not paying their loan? You can just say, oh, well, you know what? If I don't pay it, comes a bad loan. The government buys it at that point. You know what? We'll get it remortgaged. We'll get it at a much cheaper price. You'll have millionaires who can afford it who will do that, because if everyone does it, it doesn't really look bad on people's credit. You can't hold that against them as much. And his tax situation, the taxes, he brought up Joe the plumber. Never mind, Joe the plumber, he kind of got screwed by John McCain when John McCain brought him up. Joe the plumber was not a licensed plumber. Joe the plumber hadn't paid taxes in several years. So all of this got dug up, and Joe the plumber, who made $40,000 or $50,000 at best, now has a tax lien. Now has no jobs because he doesn't have a license, has to pay the money to get licensed, and is somehow touted as the guy who's trying to buy the $250,000 business. But he's holding off on the $250,000 business. He's not sure if he's going to buy that because of Barack Obama's tax plan. Do people understand how absurd that is? That, well, you know what? I may not buy this business, because if I start making $250,000, I'm going to have to pay more taxes. So you're going to choose to stay at $40,000 a year instead of going to $250,000 and paying higher taxes. That's what John McCain is trying to say. This is a man who's also, John McCain has spouted how proud he was in this last debate of all the people at his debates. He's so proud of them. Al Jazeera sent a reporter, I think it was to Ohio, maybe it was Iowa, it was someplace like that, some, you know, Midwestern, you know, everybody goes to church on Sundays and Wednesday nights kind of place, where Sarah Palin had a rally, and this Al Jazeera reporter goes there and he's asking different people, well, what do you think of Barack Obama? And, oh, he's a terrorist. Oh, and he's a Muslim. And, oh, and he's, you know, he's out to, for the blacks. And the blacks are going to take over. Things like that. Just absurd things that they only heard 10 minutes before in the Sarah Palin, in her rally. These people, they're ignorant. Now, they're racist. They're a racist. There's a difference between being racist and a racist, and an ignorant racism. These people had an ignorant racism. One of the big things that the white population complains about, or worries about, rather, is the blacks are going to take over. Barack Obama becomes president. How does that work? Just one day? Okay. Blacks are in charge. Okay. All you guys who are the CEOs of the company, you're all fired. We're going to put in this guy off the street. Here he is. The black guy who you wouldn't promote, you know what? He's a top dog. You know what? We're all going to come over to the White House. You know, we're going to put basketball courts and have, you know, barbecues and fried chicken all in the White House. It's absurd. Blacks are going to take over. One man does not have that power. Do people forget that one man who is president, no matter what color he is, he does not pass laws. He does not introduce laws. He signs them. So his bearing on this country is only predicated by what the Congress does. Now the Congress, that's a different story. Now, the Congress may actually end up being in unison with him in what he believes, but does Barack Obama seem like the man that's the Black Panther? Is he the Al Sharpton? Is he the Malcolm X of this generation? No, he's not. He's an average guy. He's a normal guy. One of the things when John Kerry lost the election last election, one of the things, Rolling Stone put out a survey. They wanted to know, you know what, who would you rather sit down and have a beer with? George Bush or John Kerry? Overwhelmingly, people said George Bush. That's how it is this time. Who would you rather have a beer with? John McCain, Barack Obama. Barack Obama, he's an average guy. He's your normal, everyday guy. With that said, does that mean we should vote for the candidate who we'd rather have a beer with? No. That would be insane. However, it proves how superficially the general public sees the elections, the candidates, even politics. They see a personality and not a person. They see a character and not the character of the person. The most important things are missed. A persona is created, and that is what people go with. Take Sarah Palin, for instance. You know what? I would have had incredible respect for her if she'd have said, you know what? I had that guy fired because there was an issue with my family. You don't mess with the governor's family. You know what? I'd have said, heck yeah. Right on. But instead, she tries to play it off and try to pretend it's something else. The ethics panel says, you know what? She abused her power. It clearly was that. That's what she did. She fired that man for one specific reason, a family grievance. Depending on who you look at, Fox News says she was exonerated. MSNBC says she was found guilty. I think she was found guilty. Aside from that, no one could have faulted her. Not a single person could have faulted her if she'd have said, yes, I did this to protect my family. Anyone in America would have done the same thing. That's how the laws are looked at in this country. It's what would a reasonable person do in that situation? Well, what would a reasonable person do in that situation? Take it down a step. You're not governor. You're the boss of some company, some casino, some restaurant, and somebody's messing with someone in your family, and you have the authority to get rid of them, you get rid of them. Right or wrong, you eliminate that. And I would respect it. I believe this election is going to come down to about a 55-45 split for Obama. I think it's going to be contested by John McCain. I think that's what he's doing now in Ohio. He's setting the groundwork for it with Acorn. And I know, you know, Mickey Mouse and Mickey Mantle and Mickey Rourke the third or whatever have registered. And they shouldn't have. And the people who did that should be brought up on criminal charges. But what John McCain is doing now is he's setting a contingency plan. He is a military man. He was a commander. There's always a plan B. And that's what he's doing. In case he loses, he's starting to see in the polls, he just can't overcome that lead Obama has. We gotta do something else. And so when he loses Ohio, he has a claim to take it to the courts. He's trying to get votes thrown out in Florida. He's trying to get votes thrown out in Michigan. It's gonna go before the courts. I hope I'm wrong. Don't think I will be. So that's my take, Martin. Alright, thank you very much, my friend.
Do you want to be part of the Above Politics show? Homer and I are looking for ATS members who want to contribute to the show. We are looking for members from around the world who can bring us what is going on in their neck of the woods and offer our listeners critical analysis on local and international events. So if you're interested, you can U2U or email either of us, Homer or Martin.
This is Homer Fife, and look, I want to point something out here. This show, the Above Top Politics show, is exactly like the forum board it's posted on. It's your show. That being said, we have a call out for anyone from any other country, and we're kind of excluding the United States and Canada because we've got so many people that we do talk to here. But anyone jump in here and give us your views. Give us a roundup on what's going on in your country. Talk about the election that's going on here, how it affects you, the economy, whatever you want to talk about. Do us an MP3, email it to us, and I will also once again put out the offer that if you are techno-illiterate, please give me a U2U, give me an email, give me a time when I can call you, and I will record a conversation with you, and we will put it on the air, and your thoughts will be heard just like everybody else's.
Absolutely, and the offer not only is from Homer, but also from me, because hopefully you realize that we may be on opposite sides of the Atlantic, so therefore there are some time zones that suit me better, and there are some time zones that suit Homer better, but the offer is there, and as Homer's absolutely said, you know, this is... You know, the whole concept of AboveTopSecret.com is it's user-generated content. We, just like you, are members. We generate contents, but we also want your contents in here. So the offers are certainly there. And certainly just going back on the elections, we also had the opportunity to get another ATS member to record a piece for us, and managed to get Justin Oldham to record a piece on the presidential elections, and he even managed to go and ask some of his friends what they thought of the election and some of the key issues. So let's give Justin a call.
With approximately 1 week to go before the November 4th presidential elections, I decided to ask some of my friends and associates what they thought about the state of this election. What's your take on the election situation overall so far?
John McCain has probably talked himself out of a 50-50 chance of winning.
And so what did you think about the Powell endorsement?
I think it was a pretty damning indictment against John McCain, what I think. There aren't many people I have as much respect for in the world as Colin Powell. So I would not be too surprised to see him offered a position in an Obama administration.
I think that the candidates have definitely got some different viewpoints on things. I really haven't decided completely who I want to vote for. I think that Sarah Palin's addition to the race was initially a good thing for the McCain camp. However, I'm not sure that it's really been an asset to them the last week or so.
Okay, and what do you think about the Powell endorsement?
I think that it was something that he considered long and hard. He thought about it. He had some very valid reasons for his choice. I certainly respect him for making his choice public and trying to convince other people to vote his way.
Who are you, and how did you get my number?
I do want a president who is ready to lead on day one.
After 8 years of Bush-McCain economics, the pie is shrinking.
We don't want a president who invites testing from the world.
In our national poll, most people said race was not a big factor.
The political shot heard around the world this weekend was Colin Powell endorsing Barack Obama.
There's no doubt at all in my mind that many registered Republicans across the country are feeling hurt and betrayed right now. The most well-known conservative radio talk show hosts have spent all of last week tearing down Colin Powell, calling him everything from a political traitor to things that we just can't say here on the Above Politics show. The retired Army General's endorsement of Senator Obama came as no surprise to political masterminds like myself, but it did come as a shock to the average Republican voter. During his 30-minute appearance on NBC's Meet the Press, General Powell made a rather lengthy and specific presentation, which ultimately led to a very clear-cut and unambiguous endorsement of Senator Obama. Those of us who follow Washington, D.C. gossip have known that this was in the works for quite some time. The terrible truth of the matter is that while General Powell has spoken his mind very plainly and simply, conservative media pundits are reacting like he's driven a stake through the heart of the entire McCain campaign. Their sense of outrage and betrayal has been made just that much more bitter by the fact that mainstream media outlets across the country that are known to have a liberal bias have been praising Colin Powell for his bravery. Now, this might look like bravery to them, but I sense that there's a little more going on here than just a seasoned veteran who's standing up for his own principles. in my own Machiavellian way, I'm thinking that this endorsement, while it is heartfelt and genuine, also serves General Powell in another very interesting way. It's altogether possible that, from his point of view, he gets a double dip out of this one. On the one hand, he gets to speak his mind freely, honestly, and openly. But on the other hand, he gets a little bit of payback. I'm sure it must just rub him altogether the wrong way to know that history books have already noted him as the guy who stood on the floor of the United Nations with very flimsy evidence and made the case for war in Iraq based on the notion that they had secret WMD programs that were still in place and still operating. If Colin Powell actually does have a revenge motive, then hey, the timing of this news release has been very well thought out. As we count down the final days to the November 4th election, there can be no doubt in anybody's mind that the political pot has been stirred. Republican chances for victory are looking pretty grim. Forecasted losses in the House and in the Senate are largely attributable to economic factors. With or without a little nudge from Colin Powell, the Republicans seem destined for defeat, and that is no conspiracy.
Thank you very much, Justin. Certainly appreciate that piece, and I'm absolutely sure both of us will be on to you for some more pieces as we come up to the elections, and certainly for some of your views after the elections. And a little birdie told me, Homer, that you managed to spend some time with one of our members from the other side of the world.
Yes, I did. Not only from the other side of the world, but from the other time zone. We had a real problem connecting, but the member's name is Expert 11. He is one of our most solid contributors here at ATS, a good solid political background. And we had a conversation basically about his home country of New Zealand, the economy there. And he gave us some comments on how he feels about the general election going on here in the United States. And I think you'll enjoy it. He's a very knowledgeable and a very politically minded individual. Hello, everybody. This is Homer Fife coming at you again from Above Politics. And we have an interview right now with one of Above Top Secret's more political active members coming to us from New Zealand. It's Expert 11. How you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Good. Tell me a little bit about yourself, and we'll get started here.
What do you want to know?
Well, okay, you live in New Zealand.
Yeah, I live in a city called Christchurch.
And you're interested in politics.
Yes, it's one of my interests. My interests include railways and model trains, the model variation of it. I like to read, of course, follow current events, which are often linked to politics. What got me into politics was, like I've said previously, an interest in general events that are happening, and the fact I have a family member who has an interest in it as well. Quite often has different views to me, which kind of makes it some interesting discussion. For those that don't know, I live in Christchurch, New Zealand, I'm not quite at the bottom of the world, but compared to, say, where the bulk of ATS members live, say, America, it probably is.
Okay, Luke, let me ask you something. How do you feel about, and this is a rest of the world type of question, not just the United States, how do you feel about the bailouts that are going on all over the world where different countries are stepping in and basically nationalizing the bank?
Waste of money. Complete utter waste of money until you actually doesn't address the problems at hand at all. And who exactly are you bailing out apart from all the people that got us into this mess?
Okay, excellent. Yeah, and I agree. Now, the ones that actually initiated that would be, of course, the United States. And I'd like to have your opinion on the two candidates that we're looking at possibly being leading the current most powerful country in the world. How do you feel about them? Obama? Yeah, well, let's start with Obama.
Interesting character. I'm probably certainly to a large degree I agree with the idea that he's gotten a bit of a free ride being a new guy on the block. To some extent in New Zealand, I think the opposition leader John Key has as well, but that's probably one similarity. It's actually sort of interesting to watch from afar than the issue of race and how it sort of played out. But it's hard to put a finger on. He has a good grounding, I think, in terms of knowing bringing some focus back into the war in Afghanistan where we have troops. And on the other hand, and the sort of inconsistencies in terms of wanting to fight Al-Qaeda and then affect Al-Qaeda in Iraq. So it's kind of hard for me to exactly put the button on it, to be honest.
Yeah, now that's interesting that you brought up Iraq. So then I would go ahead and make the case here that McCain's strength and his fortitude and his experience in the military would lend you to possibly believe that he might be a better candidate.
Don't get me wrong, I have a lot of respect for McCain's military service, but whether or not that makes him a better candidate, I can't say that's like certainty, but I'm inclined to say no because, well, as I've said, I respect his service and what he went through. I'm not so sure how it necessarily makes him a better president other than maybe being a bit more cautious when sending U.S. troops off to war since he's had sort of that experience. I'd hope that would be the case.
Okay. Now over here, so in the United States, one of the biggest scares right now is the volatile nature of the market and the economy in general, even though gas prices are now down almost $1.50 from what they were. Just give me kind of what's the rundown like there at the economy in New Zealand? What's it like there now?
Well, we've been hit by the global, I think it's a recession now. Interestingly, most of our banks are owned by their Australian counterparts, and that's actually shielded us a bit. The government is moving to guaranteed bank deposits, although during election season, the details haven't been wrinkled out. So we're not, although there is, as former opposition leader and former Reserve Bank Governor Don Brasher said, the important thing is now that credit doesn't dry up. It's had some good effect. But just like around the world, housing prices have fallen, and people own houses that, where their mortgage, the house they own isn't worth the mortgage you took out on initially, because housing prices have fallen, kind of made on a poor investment.
Now, okay, the housing market. Now, that's interesting. You're saying that the banks there in New Zealand are owned by Australian firms.
Except the Kiwi Bank, which is a state-owned enterprise.
Okay, now does that mean? Well, let's back up. Let's back up and go back to the beginning. What kind of government do you have there in New Zealand? Here we have a representative republic.
Parliamentary democracy. Basically based on the English model or the Westminster system, I think it's known as well. So we don't really have the separate branches of government like you have in the US. You know how in the US you sort of have Congress and then the president sits in a different branch of government? It's basically everything centered on parliament.
Right. Does that make it easier or harder for the government to step in and do such a thing as the bailouts or you said one of the banks was actually a government owned entity?
Well, the problem, it's easier to govern under the parliamentary system, and it works fairly well. There's a few things I would change, but fundamentally the system works well, although I'm not really sure if any pay is actually in government in the same way they are here in the US, except for the president.
Now,
the key probably thing to remember about a parliamentary democracy is it's the majority governs.
Right, now, but you have like a Labor Party, and so basically you have two sides. You have a liberal and a conservative venues.
Yes, well, we have a few sort of minor small parties as well. Labor, as you mentioned, sort of represents the centre-left, and then the National Party, the centre-right, and then different smaller parties, the Māori parties, the Green, the ACT party falling to the right of National. The makeup of Parliament could be said to slant to the left, which it does, really.
Now, would you say that your economy is controlled by Australia as a general rule, or is it more standalone?
You wouldn't say it's controlled by Australia, but it's close economic ties via the, I think it's called the CER agreement, which is sort of a free trade type deal that was signed in the 70s between the two countries.
Right. Okay, this has been an interview with Expert 11, member at AboveTopSecret.com. Luke, we've enjoyed having you with us.
I've enjoyed my appearance. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome, and we will have you back. And this is Homer Fife. Thank you. And a huge thank you to Expert 11. We really appreciate that. I know how hard it is to coordinate and to get together when you're talking about different time zones and crossing the international date line, but we appreciate his views. And Martin, what did you think?
As usual, you know, we've had the opportunity to have Expert on the show in the past. You know, like with all the people we get on this show, you're absolutely right. You know, you and I are fortunate that we get to talk with some very sharp people that help to keep us on our toes, because I'm sure it's very easy for us to get, but, you know, we have the opportunity to talk to some politically very sharp and very astute people. And guess what? They will pick us up when we say something stupid or get a fact wrong. believe you me, both of us get pulled up short and people will say, got that one wrong, chaps, and we just have to smile and go, yep. So that's, for me, is the real pleasure of this job, is just some of the members and then some of the people we get to interview. So certainly I've got to say, yeah, great job, Expert 11. But we've also been very lucky this show. We've had Justin Oldham give us a piece. We've had Johnny Utah give us a piece. And we've had Frank Idealist give us a piece. And we want to thank you all for that one. But we've said it already in the show, there's an opportunity for any other member who wants to give us their views. You know what to do.
Yep. Contact us and we'll put you up.
So I think that's about time for us to wrap. We will finish the show, and the pleasure, as usual, will be, once we finished, will be one of Homer's rants, and then we'll wrap the show. So I've been Martin Bain.
And I'm Homer Fife.
And we'll see you next time on the Above Politics show.
Hello again, everyone. This is Homer Fife, and I want to rant with you for a few minutes about the price of gas and the psychology of a settled deception combined with the public's penchant for time-distorted acceptance. Now, don't get all excited. I'm not a psychologist, and this is not in any way, shape, or form going to be technical. It is a fascinating subject, however, and one that I personally find interesting. Also, as always, please feel free to post any comments you have on the thread, or you can email them to one of the show hosts. Have you ever wondered why gas is sold at 0.9 cents per gallon? I mean, specifically, not the total price, but the 0.9 cents part. See, that's the perception thing I'm talking about. Apparently, they have discovered it's easier for you and I as consumers to pay $3.99 and 0.9 cents than $4 a gallon. As we're discussing gasoline, which is a liquid, they can get away with that. Of course, they couldn't do that with hard goods. But now, what I mean by it's easier is that we psychologically see $3.99 and 0.9 a gallon as within the $3 range and not hitting that horrible number of $4 a gallon. See, that's the deception perception. What I have noticed, however, is troubling. Well, I have to state at the outset that compared with the rest of the world, we here in the United States pay a very low price for our gasoline, fuel in general, or petrol as compared to my European friends. Still in all, it looks as if that's changing, and changing with our complete cooperation and unwitting acceptance. See, here's how it works. First, you have to find a tragedy. You know, a hurricane, a Middle Eastern violence, anything really, and you use that tragedy to raise the price of gasoline up to a before unheard of dollar amount. An example, hurricane comes into the Gulf, they have to shut the oil platforms down for, what, 24 hours, maybe 48 hours, and yet they justify the increase in the gas price due to the oil platforms being shut down, and that increase in the gas price is, what, a month, 2 months? Now, and all the while, they're blaming it on the aforesaid tragedy. Now, they're only going to leave it up there for a little while, just long enough for us, the public, to adapt a little. Then as the tragedy is solved or is averted, they'll bring the price back down. But not all the way to where it was before. Oh no, oh no. They're going to keep it artificially raised. And it's easy, as the public, because at this point the public is heaving a sigh of relief that it's going down at all. They're thinking, oh, thank goodness it's not $4 a gallon. They don't think, why didn't it go back to the price it was before? Because it's going down, they're still going to leave it up 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 cents higher than it was prior to the tragedy. Now, take into account a couple of hurricanes, a few good threats in the Middle East, and you can do this several times throughout the year, and in a year's time, make a significantly higher profit margin. And guess what? You, I, we, the public, are completely clueless. We're actually relieved because guess what? They brought the price down. Did they really? No. They really raised the price. But it's our perception they brought the price down. Now, I'm a conservative. therefore basically opposed to any government regulation. However, the government already regulates the price of our electric companies, so why is there no regulation on the amount that can be charged for gasoline? Okay, all together now, let's say it, big oil. Government regulation is nothing more than socialism in practice. Yet, what other answer is there? The oil companies have become so large that to imagine that there is any competition in the market amongst them, it's foolhardy. They're all working together to increase their profit, and that is not healthy for the economy or the free market in general. When you have large corporations working together in reference to the profit margin, you simply have a monopoly. It's a loophole, but it's there. If anybody has any ideas about a solution to this, I'd love to hear it. And please don't waste my time and yours with the let's protest this brand of gas or that brand. That's silly, and the public has shown us time and again that they will not do it, and it does not work. Can't depend on the government. Right now, we have a Democrat-controlled House and Senate, and they have come out and stated, they have stated that they are in favor of high gas prices, as it supposedly makes us drive less, some sort of a save-the-world tree hugger, and I'm telling you, I call bull on that. Now, while gas prices are currently, at this time, down from the previous high, $4 plus a gallon, you can bet your shirt it's not going to stay there. Taking all that into consideration, drop us a line and let us know what you think. Also, if you'll send one of us a time and a number, we'll call you and you can tell us what you think on air. This is Homer Fife, and that's just the way I see it.
You've been listening to the Above Politics Show. If you have a comment, suggestion, or an opposing view, please deliver it at abovepolitics.com. The views expressed on the Above Politics Show do not necessarily reflect the staff and management of the Above Network LLC or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening, and please continue to deny apathy.